This is your boy, The Voice, and you're listening to The Voice of the DHL. Got a smooth episode for you today. A special trade deadline breakdown. As players are forced to pick up and move, they're not all going to beautiful Cali. For fantasy managers, we have to be agile and ready to adjust expectations. Some players' production will be turned up, while others will plummet. Let's discuss these possibilities, because who knows, you may find that diamond in a rough. If only things were so easy and smooth as this be. But everything can't be a SoCal vibe. So let's go ahead, let's get into it. All right, we got a special show for you today. We're going to attempt to go through some trades that have been agreed upon from the NBA during the trade deadline. And since there were quite a few trades that affected rosterable fantasy players, I enlisted some help. So I want to welcome today the DHL, or former DHL commissioner, now disgraced manager, Chase. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hello, Edward.
So before we get into the show, let's get everybody caught up with you. Since you've been rotated out to DHL, what have you been up to? Are you at least doing well in whatever replacement fantasy league you're in? What's going on?
My endeavors have been plentiful. I won my fantasy football league, one of them. I won 3,500 in that one, so that was great. And then as far as basketball goes, I'm in another league with my brother-in-law and some cousins. They're definitely not as competitive as the DHL, but they are good, you know, just to keep my skills sharp to some extent. So I'm ready to get back in next year and hit the ground running. But yeah, this league is it's for money too. So I'm actually a little focused in it. I'm not as focused as I would be in DHL because I don't know those guys like that. So it affects my competitiveness. And plus, I feel like they're not as good as the DHL's level of competition. I feel like if I'm really focused and locked in, like I dominate this league, but like they don't trade, they don't talk to each other. Like, you know, there's less dialogue between the players. Like it's like different cliques that like they make up the league. So it's not the same like cohesion. Like we got to all know each other. Even like three I've been to Vegas with, like I know all these guys in this league. I've played ball or romance, whoever winning that was. Like I've met all these guys. Talking about trades is nothing. Like that's something we do just off GP. Like these guys, I don't hit them up for like, I hit up like my cousin and my brother-in-law about trades. If it's not between like us two, or maybe like somebody extended from them two, I don't trade with those guys. So it's like you just kind of hope, you have to hope that you're better than them off of GP, or hope you draft well, because like, there's not going to be a lot of trading, and they have IR spots, so guys court guys.
Okay.
So there's no, and they don't have unlimited add-in drops, so you have 4 a week, which I think that makes it less competitive too.
Right.
Like, you
right.
Have to, you so don't have to think, you don't have to like be up at midnight thinking about, you know, I'm going to get this guy before JB gets him, or I'm going to block Eddie and get this guy, or I need to drop this guy so I can have a full lineup on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Like, there's no thought process like that. Like, that's a DHL-specific thing. Like, our league is so much more in-depth, like, so much more well-thought-out. Like, these guys aren't that thought-out. Like, I can – the playoffs, I'm 10 steps ahead of these guys. And it's like it's almost like it's infuriating because like I feel like I'm not being challenged. Like there's no like if I get up at midnight, I know for sure I'm gonna get whatever I want. Like there's no like if you're not there, if you're there at 12:04, it's a wrap in the DHL. Like you forget it. Like when it's especially right. When it's like in playoff season, 12:15, you might as well just say fuck it. Like it's over. Like you missed everything. But in this league, I can wake up at like 6 a.m. and still get everything I want.
Yeah, that's definitely not flying in the DHL. And so actually, before we continue, you brought up something interesting. We had a topic in the DHL about possibly adding an IR spot to the league. So now that you've been playing with the IR spot, how do you feel about just the IR spot in general? Because that was part of the discussion that you use the IR spot. Well, now it just kind of it stops some of the activity in the league. So do you feel that would be harmful to the DHL, or do you think one IR spot isn't really too bad, even in the DHL, since everybody's kind of active already?
Their IR spots are different. I mean, like, it's not one. They have three. So they have – I mean, let me explain it to you. So you have that big, long-ass roster, and you have three IR spots, and two are regular, and one is IR plus, whatever the fuck that means. But basically, you have three guys you can hoard. Or if so, and let's say like a guy is a game time decision. Just for him having that tag, you can put him in an IR spot. He's not to be injured. He could be out. He could be game time decision. He could be injured, but you can put him in one of those IR spots. And that, and for me, it's become a thing that I can use this for strategy. Like, if I want to add a guy or drop a guy, I don't have to drop a guy I don't like or I like. Like, say I want to keep Finney Smith, who's like a fringe guy, and he'll be like a game time decision. I don't want to drop him, but he might not play today, and I can get, say somebody dropped Terrence Ross, I can get him and keep this guy and wait till somebody else falls off and drop that guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like adding a guy and hoarding the other one. Like, there's no drop. I can add it without dropping now. I can add four guys and only drop three or two or one or none in some instances. Right. Like, there's no consequence to it. Like, sometimes you got to make a decision at DHL. Like, I don't want to drop Goran Dragic, but to get this win off and to keep myself in playoff condition, I might have to. But in this league, I could say, like, oh, well, I want to keep Finney Smith and I want to keep Dragic too. But I know Dragic's not going to play just this one game. So I can put him in his IR spot and pick up a Terrence Ross and keep him too. And then when somebody like comes back, like say like Dragic plays the next game, but you're not really tripping. And he's back active, but he's still in that IR spot. It doesn't matter because you put him there before he became active. You can't put him in there when he's active. So it's like hoarding a guy.
Yeah, yeah. So
you can beat the system.
You wouldn't recommend it for the DHL, then you rather play without it.
It adds a layer of bitch assness that like we can all exploit. Like for us, it'll be too much because people get mad at each other. Like we need the consequence of dropping this guy and making a real decision. Like if I could hoard three extra guys every week and not have to drop any of them, what are we talking about? Like why drop at all? I'm gonna be three steps ahead of you at all times. There's no downside to it. It's like, okay, he's in my R spot that I don't have to use. So like when you hoard a guy in the DHL, it's a liability. You're playing with one less guy. And he's got to add in drop spot. So now what are you going to do? You got to drop somebody real sometimes.
True.
So, yeah, I don't think an IR spot would be good for the DHL. I think our competitive balance is good where it's at. We don't need to add any more ways for people to fuck the system. We figured them all out, and let's just keep it the way like how it is.
Well, that was part of the argument to not have it. So definitely glad to hear your point of view. And I feel a little bad for you because I know you like the will and deal. So I feel a little bad that your pool of people that you can trade with is basically your brother-in-law and your cousin.
And they make the dumbest trades, bro. And they don't trade like a two-for-one. They trade like four-for-four, like big-ass shit, too. Like, what are y'all doing? Y'all, you're reshaping your whole team for name value. Or then my brother or my cousin, he has his little nephew in the league. He'll get off like some like, oh, I'll trade you Draymond for Bradley Beal, and the kid will accept it.
Definitely a different level from the DHL. So,
but let's, yeah, you don't let's get go those ahead. The you like you'll get clowned, you'll get it vetoed, and like you'll get a segment like this about you.
definitely will. That you definitely will get talked about. But I want to talk about some of the NBA trades that just happened. So let's go ahead and get into that. We're going to start off with the biggest trade that happened, the blockbuster, of course, and that was the Nets trading Harden to the Sixers for Simmons. What are your initial thoughts about that trade?
I think the sneakiest thing fantasy-wise is Drummond going to be a starter. If he's going to be a starter, that's 15 and 15 maybe. Like, he might get back to those old numbers to some extent, so he might be a good guy to have now. Like, you might have stumbled upon that.
With Drummond, I was thinking about that also, and that was my first thought, that maybe he might just go ahead and launch himself into the starting lineup. But they got LaMarcus Aldridge, which they really seem to like to play at center. They got Nick Claxton, who I think is probably a better fit for what Brooklyn wants to do. Do you think that you're thinking that he's probably going to be able to outwork those two and bolt his way into the starting lineup?
Possibly, but I think like everybody says the league is copycat. Like you see how the Cavs are playing 3 7-footers. like they could, like the Brooklyn can now go very big. They can start Kyrie, Ben Simmons, KD, put Aldridge at four and Drummond at five and just give a big lineup. And when you play a team like a Cleveland who wants to play big, you can go with them and play big. So I think Drummond might see a lot of time in starting. I don't think Aldridge is a guy who's going to play starters minutes throughout the playoffs and like throughout the rest of the season. Drummond's probably younger, better shape. Like he's been in the NBA like consistently. He hasn't been in and out like Aldridge. So I'd expect him to take that spot. And I was going to be interested to see how long it takes Ben Simmons to get back ready to play basketball, whatever the fuck that means. But I think once he does that, I mean, he's probably going to hit the ground running too. Another guy going to be elite steals and all that stuff, rebounding for a guard. It'll be interesting to see if he starts shooting the ball now. So we'll see.
Hey, man, Ramona Shelburne said he's been practicing at the YMCA getting his confidence up. So hopefully he was doing a little shooting there also.
Watch his foot come out like he's fucking Steph Curry now, just because he wants to be petty.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that. I'm also interested in Steph Curry because he was probably a nice little steal in the draft this year. He's been playing well, averaging about 15 points a game and about 3.5 assists. But now he's going to be splitting minutes with Patty Mills. And then, you know, you got when Vince, everybody's healthy, you got Kyrie Irving playing some two off guard minutes. So I'm thinking him and Patty Mills, their value probably dissolves a little between those two.
Is Seth Curry in the waivers in you guys' league, or he's rostered?
He's rostered. He's been rostered all season.
Yeah, because I think like in the playoffs, he'd be a guy like I don't think he's gonna be a guy who's gonna be a lock on a playoff roster. Like when everybody really starts dropping guys, but if you time him right, and you catch him on a night that Kyrie's not playing, you might be able to flip it like that. Some nights, like he'll right. have good better minutes those nights.
And especially with Joe Harris having to get, I think he has to get a second surgery. So with no Joe Harris probably coming back this season, they definitely need the shooting around their team. So there is going to be opportunity for Steph Curry still, even in the Nets with more, I guess, competition around him for playing time.
Yeah.
Now, of course, and you'd think Harden is going to just go ahead and act the ass like he did when he got out of Houston and came to Brooklyn and just wanted to show out and make a show of, hey, I really am who I always been.
I don't know what Harden we're going to get. I mean, he has to get back in shape first, I think. But I think Harden's a guy who wants, like, consistency as far as, like, he's going to be out there playing with. So I think he's going to start playing a lot of games consecutively. I think that's what he wanted over there in Brooklyn. But, you know, this fool Kyrie wants to be a part-time NBA player, which is the best job going. Boy, I wish I could do that. Then, you know, KD's hurt and the rest of the roster is you know, they got a guy like Kessler Edwards, that guy from Rancho Cucamonga. And he's playing big minutes for Brooklyn as a two-way player. Like, that's not what probably Harden signed up for, to be playing, you know, sharing the floor with Kessler Edwards and, you know, whoever else. I think Harden's going to – his assists are going to be the same because, you know, he has guys to pass the ball to now. I think he's going to give a dip to Maxey, which I don't like because I got him in my other league.
Right, right.
I think Maxey's going to – his body's going to plummet a little bit.
Yeah, I think so because he's going to have to play off ball now with Harden, so you're not going to
get all that. Give me the ball, bring that shit up. Nah, that's over now. Mm-hmm. You're a 3-and-D.
A lot of his value this year, he's been able to attack the basket recklessly this season and just do a lot of driving and kicking. So now he's got to spot up and shoot, and you're probably going to see a little less assists from him. So, yeah, I think his value definitely takes a hit also.
Yeah, well, when there's hamstring issue nights, those are nice to be a good night for Maxey.
I want to take a step back and review the trades from a few days ago. And there was a trade between the Pacers and the Kings. Indiana received Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, Tristan Thompson, and Sacramento received Domantas Sabonis, Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, and a second-round pick. Sabonis, he's probably the best player in this deal. Do you think anything changes for Sabonis when he's in Sacramento?
No, he's going to be solid. He's going to be the number two option, I guess, to some extent still. But I think I saw his first night stats. They were consistent with what he normally does. It's like big, big double-double scoring-wise. I think just defensive stats are just like kind of subpar, right? Like,
yeah, like no blocks and steals, but, you know, like you said, rebounding, assists, you know, good percentages from the field. That's what you can get from Sabonis.
I think this is a good move for a guy like Chris Duarte, because now he's going to get all the minutes now. He's got a guy, Halliburton's going to look for him, get him the ball in good spots. They want to see him take shots and everything, so his value is going to go up.
Let's talk about Chris Duarte then. I thought that, like you said, when Caris LeVert was dealt earlier before this trade, I was Chris Duarte, he's going to come out here, he's going to shine. But now you're including Buddy Hield in the rotation, you're including Tyrese Halliburton in the rotation. So I'm not sure if that kind of stifles some of Duarte's production. But I do want to talk about Buddy Hield while we're on him. Do you think he finds himself in a better situation now that he's out? He's been trying to get out of Sacramento for a while now, it seems like. But do you think he gets a little bit more opportunity in Indiana, or do you think they're going to prioritize Duarte over him?
I mean, I think his role is the same as Sacramento. He's the third guard, like, no matter how you look at it. Like, the starting backcourt in Indiana is going to be Tyrese Halliburton and Chris Duarte. Buddy Hill's going to be off the bench. The same thing over here in Sacramento. But in Sacramento, he's low-key the fourth best guard because he can't play defense like Davion Mitchell. So he's probably going to get his chances to get his shots up like any other year with him. I don't think it's going to be much of a change. But I think you get starter Tyrese Halliburton without De'Aaron Fox, because when he played without Fox, his numbers were really good. So I think you're going to see an uptick in his minutes and his production. Maybe not to like where it was at Sacramento in his peak, but like just maybe a couple points higher, maybe two or three assists higher. So efficiency is going to be there as always.
Yeah, Halliburton. So in the 11 games that Halliburton played without De'Aaron Fox on the floor, he averaged 19.7 points, 3.9 rebounds, 9.4 assists, 1.9 steals, and 2.5 three-pointers made at 40%. So, like you said, those stats without De'Aaron Fox are kind of monster stats for fantasy. And speaking about that, do you think Malcolm Brogdon will be able to come back from his Achilles soreness that he's been dealing with all season and ruin some of the production or opportunity that Halliburton can have without, you know, Malcolm Brogdon there on the floor right now? Or because what I'm thinking is that Indiana is probably going to want to get into like a pseudo tank mode this season and just let, you know, they can't trade Malcolm Brogdon because he signed the extension. So just go ahead, let him rest, rehab the Achilles, and go ahead and let Halliburton just shine. But do you think Malcolm Brogdon comes back and throws a little interference in that plan?
I mean, we all know Malcolm Brogdon is a shutdown candidate around this time of the year. So I think he's going to get shut down eventually. It's only a matter of time. They don't want him to win games over there. So the Beach Report said they're going to shop him in the summer. So he's not a part of the future over there. So I think he ends up getting shut down as usual. And everybody who bet on Malcolm Brogdon in the game is going to get F like they usually do. Who is it in y'all league?
Powerhouse had him, but then he dropped him. Right now, JV picked him up. So we'll see if he decides to hold him or what.
JV will drop him. JV's not going to keep him.
So I want to go back, though, to Sabonis' impact. I definitely think that he destroys the value of Rashawn Holmes. Do you believe that Rashawn Holmes would be a drop?
It's over. They put him right on the bench. I saw the box score that night. He's off the bench the first night he gets there. So like, it's over for him.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Rashawn Holmes this season. He got hurt and he had that eye injury, and then all of a sudden his stats just started plummeting. And now, like you said, I don't see a pathway for him to have any fantasy value on a nightly basis.
Yeah, he's off the bench now. He's part of the bench unit, second unit.
Last person I want to talk about I want to talk about Davion Mitchell, the rookie in Sacramento that we kind of just talked about quickly. My first thought is that with Halliburton gone, that he's going to get a lot more opportunity now. But Justin Holiday, he's not a big name, but he is a solid player in his own right. And Sacramento does have a mandate to make it to the playoffs. And rarely do coaches trust rookies. So do you think that Mitchell gets buried behind Holiday, or is it his turn to break loose?
I mean, they play different positions, don't they? Holiday's more of a two.
Yeah, but since they started De'Aaron Fox at point guard, they're usually playing Mitchell at the off guard. He's not really a pure two, but he's kind of like an off guard type of player when I'm watching the game.
I don't think he starts, right? He doesn't start.
He hasn't been starting, but again, when he is playing, he's normally playing as the off guard. So normally he's either coming in with Fox or Halliburton, and Halliburton or Fox are playing the main ball handler, and he's kind of that off guard defender type player for them. So he's technically a point guard, but he kind of for purposes, offensive purposes, he's kind of the shooting guard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What is his production like right now? Was it even? I know he's good for steals and stuff like that.
Well, what I'll say is, if you take the 11 games that Mitchell has played with either De'Aaron Fox or Halliburton off the floor, he's played pretty well. He's averaged 15.1 points, 4.6 assists, 2.1 three-pointers made at 37%. So there is a little offensive game that he has hidden there. It's just, will he get the opportunity to showcase that?
I mean, I think in this, he should get some good six-man minutes. So I think he should hopefully get to whatever numbers you are saying, 15 and 4. That sounds decent. So, I mean, if he's giving you 13 and 3, I think you're still fine. But if he's getting more minutes, I mean, 17, give me that.
And before we move on, I want to talk about Indiana's impact. Sabonis has been traded. Miles Turner, he's on ice because of a foot injury. Indiana also made a smaller trade to bring in with the Suns to bring in Jalen Smith, who he had a nice little fantasy run when DeAndre Ayton was injured. In those six games, he averaged 15.8 points, 10.2 rebounds, and one block. But I'm asking you, who is your speculative add between Goga Badatse, Isaiah Jackson, or Jalen Smith? All of them have had little small runs this year. Who do you think probably gets to play in that front court with Turner out and Sabonis gone?
Well, I think Badatse is going to get the minutes for now, but I mean, I wouldn't really be relying on any of those guys in Indiana. Like, if you're not a guard in Indiana, I don't think I really want to mess with you. Even Miles Turner is he's borderline. Like, you know, he's decent, but like, you know, he's flimsy. He's hurt, and like his numbers are not like big man numbers. Like he's a shooter. It's a big man, but yeah, he's good for blocks. But like I'm saying, I wouldn't really want to hitch my wagon to any of those guys you're talking about from Indiana. That doesn't seem like it's anything consistent you're going to get out of those guys. But if I had to pick one, I'd say Badaze.
Okay, that's the guy that I like too. When Turner and Sabonis have been out, they seem to be prioritizing Goga Badatse. You know, when he's getting the minutes, he's good for a double-double. But, you know, who knows what they're really trying to do. I'm not really sure what
I know what they're trying to do. I know what they're trying to do. This guy named he goes to Duke. Paolo Banchero, that's their plan. They're waiting on him. They're clearing a desk for him. Paolo Banchero, Tyrese Halliburton, Chris Duarte, they think they'll be fine.
The other trade that happened on Tuesday was between New Orleans Pelicans and Portland Trail Blazers. New Orleans receives C.J. McCollum, Larry Nance, who he looks like he's going to be a shutdown candidate because he's going to have knee surgery. I think soon. I don't think he already had it yet, but he's not worth anything. Tony Snell, and Portland receives Josh Hart, Thomas Satoransky, and he just got traded. He got traded again to the Spurs. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he also got traded again to Utah. So really they only brought in Josh Hart and Didi Lazoza and some draft picks. So really the main trade is C.J. McCollum for Josh Hart. What are your initial thoughts about that?
What are they going to do with Josh Hart is my big question. I mean, is he going to start? I mean, the Laker game I watched yesterday was – when you guys talk about that. But Josh Hart, I mean, I don't think he's ready yet, but he wasn't starting if he was. I don't even think he played that game.
They rested him that night. He didn't even play.
Yeah, so I think if he's starting, I mean, I think he'll be worth something. But if he's not starting, then I mean, I can run a rebounding two guard. Thank you. So McCollum, his number should be this, hopefully the same or better because he's going to get better looks playing off of guys like Zion if he ever comes back and playing off of Brandon Ingram. So that would be – you think that would be beneficial to him. I think that move is for next year, though. I don't know if they're going to let Zion play this year. Hopefully they do. But I think next year when they walk into the arenas with C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson, and they got Valanciunas, and, you know, hopefully they get that point guard situation worked out, or they start the three they already have. What's that guy's Herbert name? Jones. The three. Yeah, Herbert Jones. Like when they'll be a tough out. They're going to be one of the surprise teams next year, I think.
So, yeah, I don't think this trade indicates that Zion Williams is returning this season either. I don't see it. But what I do like for fantasy purposes is that McCollum is now going to a team that's trying to at least make the play-in. So you don't have to worry about him possibly being a shutdown candidate because of some type of little fake ankle injury or, you know, something like, I know he hurt his back last season and, you know, stuff like that. So there's no worries about them making up some type of injury to put him on ice because New Orleans does have a mandate to try to make that play-in. So good move. Are a positive move for fantasy managers that are rostering McCollum because now at least that's one less worry you have with him.
Yeah, and he seems motivated based on all these comments that they got going out for him. So that's a good thing. If he's motivated and he wants to play, you know, you're going to get a run-of-the-mill CJ McCollum.
So let's go ahead and take a quick break here, and then when we get back, we'll discuss some more of these trades that happened on the deadline. Welcome back, and let's go ahead and get back into some of these trades that happened at the deadline. And we're going to pick up with the Washington and Charlotte trade. Washington sent Montrezl Harrell to Charlotte. In return, they received Ish Smith and Vernon Carey. And let's start off with Trez. He gets to move out of a bad situation where he was fighting for playing time with Thomas Bryant and Daniel Gafford. Now he's splitting time with Mason Plumlee and PJ Washington, but the good thing is P.J. Washington, he can play at the four and play alongside Trez. How do you feel about Montrezl Harrell's value going forward now that he's in Charlotte?
I like that because the Charlotte needs him. They need a player that plays in the post like him and plays off pick and roll and stuff like that. So he's going to get a lot of usage. Even if it's off the bench, he's still going to get his minutes. I think he's going to finish the game a lot too because I think he's a slightly better defender than Cody Zeller or what was it, Plumlee? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Plumlee. Plumlee's a body. Like he's just a big body. He's cool, but like he's not a loud threat. He's not a pick and roll threat. He's not gonna hit a 15-footer or nothing like that, like Montrezl will. So, guys are gonna sag off him, but like he's not gonna be in close lineups anymore. I think you're gonna look to see Montrezl Harrell in those lineups because he's gonna help them win games. And I think they're gonna hopefully they'll get themselves into like definite playoff positioning. I want to see them play against Chicago the first round. That'd be crazy. The Ball Brothers. Play against the first round. I think that'd probably be a good matchup for TV and for the Bulls because I think that's the Bulls. I'm not sure about them getting to the second round depending on who they get.
Yeah. In real life, like you said, Plumlee, his hands are terrible. He seems to be dropping a lot of passes when I watch the Charlotte games that I'm able to catch. But at the very least, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be fun to watch LaMelo be throwing lobs and throwing passes to Trez because, you know, Montrezl Harrell got that motor. And from a real-life perspective, that's going to be fun to watch. I do think this hurts P.J. Washington's value because he was getting some backup minutes at the center. I don't think he's going to get those minutes anymore. He's probably just strictly going to be playing behind Miles Bridges at the power forward. So his minutes probably go down the drain. Do you think there's any way that P.J. Washington maintains any of his value?
I mean, P.J. Washington is not a guy on roster ever. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect his value, in my mind, to change. So, I mean, whoever has him, may the force be with you. But, yeah, I think Montrez is going to eat into those minutes.
And from the Wizards' side, Bradley Beal, he's done for the season due to the wrist surgery that he's opting to have. And we'll get to this in a little bit, but Spencer Dinwiddie was traded to Dallas. So, would you rather add – because, you know, there's going to be plenty of guard minutes there. Would you rather add Raul Neto or Ish Smith?
Raul Neto. I don't even know if Ish Smith's going to play. Where did he get traded to? Ish Smith went to...
To Washington.
Yeah, I mean, for now, Neto, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know. Is Ish Smith really going to play? Like, who is there a guy ahead of him at all?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, because we haven't got to yet. But then when he got traded away, Bill's out of
the... Aaron Holiday got traded too, right?
Yeah, Aaron Holiday got traded also. So there's plenty of minutes available. But I think I'm with you. I think Raul Neto is probably the guy. If you're going to make a speculative ad, he's probably going to be the one once Ish Smith gets to Washington that you're still going to want to roster. I know Ish Smith already has a few seasons, I believe, with Washington. So he has some history there. But I don't think Ish Smith is a true starting point guard. So I think they'd rather allow Raul Neto to take control of the reins there.
Yeah, for now, until they figure out something better in the drafts.
Basically. So let's move on to that next trade that involved the Wizards. And that's the Mavericks. They traded Porzingis to the Wizards. Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans go to Dallas in return. Do you think that Porzingis plays for Washington, or would it be like when Dallas got him from New York and just rehabbed him that first season before they got him rolling? Because he is dealing with or recovering from the injury, and he's kind of been off and on with the injuries all season. It doesn't seem like the Wizards are really trying to do anything or go anywhere this season. So do you think they just kind of take it easy with Porzingis?
This is a move, like why make this move for both sides? Like, I'd be interested to hear the GM's justification as why they did these moves. Like, for Dallas, like, why would you do this? Like, the one good player you have besides Luka you trading away for Bertans and Spencer Dinwiddie. This is going to backfire one day because Luka, all right, but you keep playing. All these guys are, like, demanding to get out of places, and it's happening. So we just saw Harden do it 2 years in a row. It's nothing for Luka to say, you know what, you guys are disrespectful. I want to be a Knick. I want to be anything. I want to go to Atlanta with Trae Young. I want to do anything but be here. Because you guys are, like, wasting my – I should be competing now. Like, if I'm Luka, like, send me to Minnesota so I can go play with Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns. Like, send me to Boston so I can go play with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Like, send me somewhere where I'm going to be able to, you know, reach the top where I want to, like I'm supposed to. Like, you guys, like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, I don't know if that's, like, a personal thing between them two, but, like, when they both play together and they're both on, like, they're hard to beat. But I don't think Bertans is going to fill that void.
I think it's for
Washington, probably for next year, because at this point, why play him this year? Like, why don't you wait till next year when Bradley Beal comes back and then you have him and maybe you'll draft a point guard, you have Porzingis, you'll have Kyle Kuzma, and y'all can see about the 10th spot or the 9th spot, maybe, if you're lucky. But, I mean, I don't understand why I make this move. Like, Dallas is doing good in the 5 spot in the West, which is hard to do right now. And you take your second-best player for what?
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
Why? Do they get a pick out of this?
No picks. Well, no.
So no picks. You just said take for a 7'3 guy who can shoot threes, protect the rim, and all that other stuff. And he has a real game in this league. You want to take him and get Bertans and Spencer Dinwiddie, who his teammates just didn't – he got traded because his teammates didn't like him. Like, that's that's the guy you want for Porzingis?
Yeah, Dallas sent out a pick to Washington. They sent out a second-round pick with Porzingis to Washington to get Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Yeah, I don't – like you said, I think it makes more sense for Porzingis just to play next year when Bradley Beal comes, because you figure Bradley Beal is going to be signing his, you know, I think it's like $250 million Supermax deal this summer or whatever. So he signs his deal. He can't trade him after he signs his deal for that first year. So, you know, you just play it out with Porzingis, see if you got anything there. And then if not, Bradley Beal probably ask out, because he's gotten his money already, and then you kind of go from there and start to rebuild. If Porzingis doesn't play, though, I do like Gafford as a source of rebounds and blocks, because when he was part of that three-man rotation, he was basically unrosterable. He was getting like 12 minutes a night. I know Porzingis likes to play at the power forward, but I don't think he's a true power forward anymore. Do you think that Gafford is a good speculative pickup?
I guess so. I mean, Thomas Bryant's starting, right? So, I mean, probably going to get whatever's left behind Thomas Bryant. So, I mean, I wouldn't be looking at that, like, unless it's like an item drop type spot. But, you know, maybe for the rebounds, like you said. But I think he's more of an item drop guy right now, especially not starting Washington. What does that say about you?
I mean, he was starting until, you know, Thomas Bryant became healthy, and then they just basically shoved him to the bench.
And he's not that good, so you can't beat him out. So
for Dallas, though, Dinwiddie, he's been struggling all season. Him and Brunson probably take away from each other's value, and Brunson actually has been a pretty good sleeper this season. Do you think Brunson is able to retain any of his value with Spencer Dinwiddie coming in? Because yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie hasn't been good, but they were looking for another ball handler, supposedly, so he fits that bill. How do you feel about Brunson?
I mean, I like that to some extent, because if you go back to the bubble, the year that Luka was giving the Clippers all they could handle, the guys that were key were, I want to say, Trey Burke, and they had another guard that I forgot who it was, but like they had another guard who can get to a shot. So now you're going to have Luka alongside a Dinwiddie who can get his own shot, and Brunson can get his own shot, and they're going to use the kick out, going to be Bertans, and you'll have Powell in the defending the rim. But so I think that's going to, for the playoffs and like the real life playoffs, I think it's good for them. So I think you're going to see a lot of leading up to the playoffs, you'll see those guys, those three play a lot together, I think. So I think Dinwiddie's number six might take a slight dip, but not a big one, but because I think he's going to get his fair share of minutes. I think Brunson's going to stay the same.
And really quickly, I know both of us are probably not really that big on Bertans, but as you stated, Luka does need shooters around him, and the idea of what Bertans can bring to the table doesn't make a lot of sense.
You traded Porzingis for him. You have to play him. Why the fuck would you draft trade for this guy and not play him? He better be starting. So, I mean, I'm assuming he's about to be Bertans 2 years ago now. That's the only justification. If he's Bertans from 2020, where Bertans was wet and giving you like 18 a game and taking like seven boards, like that guy has to come back right now for you to give up Porzingis. Because I mean, on paper, that's not a horrible starting lineup. It's not good defensively. Like you start Luka, Dinwiddie, Brunson, Bertans, and Dwight Powell. Like it's not horrible because I know Tim Hardaway's out, but like that's three guys that can get their own shot. You got a shooter in the corner, and you got a rim runner. Luka doesn't need much. Like, if Luka's on, he don't need a lot, like a whole lot of help. Like, he can do it himself.
You know, like you said, all Bertans needs to do is hit the open shot, which he hasn't been able to find the bucket at all in Washington, which may speak volumes that, you know, he was even able to get on the court in Washington. But, like you said, if he can get back to who he was before he got paid.
He hasn't even balled in Washington. Like, who's out here, like, really looking for him? Like, John Wall's gone. So, right. Like... Bradley Beal's not looking for you, for sure. He's looking for him. Like, Kuzma's not looking for nobody. I can tell you that for sure. Neither is him, Montrezl Harrell. And KCP, he's decent. He's not really out there, like, trying to distribute. He's out here trying to play 3-and-D. So, like, maybe a guy like Luka who can get him the ball when he's wide open, he can, like, play pick and roll with him, pick and pop. So, his opportunity should go up if he's going to start, too.
I would like to see Bertans get a little bit of his groove back. So let's move on to the next trade, though. And there was a trade between Boston and the Spurs. Boston received Derek White, and the Spurs received Josh Richardson and Romeo Langford, a first-round pick. I'm personally a big fan of Derek White. I like his game. This season, he's averaging 14.4 points, 3.5 rebounds, 5.6 assists, one steal, 0.9 blocks, so almost giving you a steal and a full block. Plus, he's knocking down 1.7 3-pointers made at 31%. He was probably the second option in San Antonio behind DeJounte Murray, but in Boston, he'll be a third option at best. Boston does need some playmaking. That's what's been hurting them all season in real life. You know, Dennis Schroeder is not cutting it. And by the way, Dennis Schroeder, he got traded to the Rockets also. But do you think Derek White can maintain his value now that he's in Boston?
I mean, I think they brought him in there to start and be their real point guard because they said they need a real, real point guard. And, you know, I think for real life basketball, that's a really good move for Boston because they address a real glaring need because Marcus Smart to me is not a starter in the NBA. He's an off-the-bench guy like a Patrick Beverley, like let's assume to Patrick Beverley that. So I think Derek White, I don't know if his numbers will stay the same because, you know, Tatum and Jalen Brunson and Jalen Brown, they get it up there. So he's not going to be playing with Deontay Murray and, you know, Doug McDermott no more. Like, those guys are the ball moves a little more in San Antonio. So he has to see if he can bring some of that to Boston, hopefully. And the ball moves with them, they'll be a problem. But if it's more the same for them, I think they'll be, you know, another second-round team and be gone if that.
Yeah, for real life, I love this move. Also, there he's another playmaker, like you said, which is what they need. And
he plays D.
I'm imagining closing lineups. You got Derek White. You got Marcus Smart locking down the backcourt. Then in the paint, you got Robert Williams, the time board, out here as a safety net. Like, they should be able to lock down teams when it comes to crunch time with that lineup there. And then, you know, you got Tatum and Brown doing their thing. So that should be really nice defensively. And for real life, I think that this is a great move. Marcus Smart, like you said, I don't really believe in him as a true starter. So he's been okay this season. You know, lately he's been on a nice little run. But really, when you're rostering Marcus Smart for fantasy, you're just trying to get the steals from him. And you're trying to get, you know, the 4 or 5 assists. So that's really all you're really counting on for Marcus Smart. But definitely a great trade. Josh Richardson going to San Antonio, I don't really think that does any move the needle for me anywhere. So
buyout candidate. Lakers, are you listening? We need it all.
They need all the help they can get. Boy. So there's a few more little ancillary trades that went down, but the last kind of big trade that I want to talk about was a 4-team trade. So Detroit, they receive Marvin Bagley. The Clippers receive Semi Ojeleye, Rodney Hood. Milwaukee receives Serge Ibaka and some draft picks. And Sacramento receives Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Jackson, and Trey Lyles. Anything that you're seeing there for fantasy that at least makes you think like, hey, let me see what might go on here?
I'm interested to see what they do with DiVincenzo in Sacramento. Like, if he's going to be their starting two guard, that's going to be interesting to see how much they let him play. Because in college, he was nice. I liked him in college. And then he comes to the Bucks. It's like, you know, it's hard to get developed when you're playing behind Giannis. Like they're not literally looking. They don't need you. Like this man, go out here and play defense. Like, that's kind of his job out here. So I'd like to see what he does. Serge might get some good run here and there as a backup center or a small ball center with him.
For real life, that's a good move for real life. For fantasy, I don't know how much he'll play, but they definitely needed some of the bigger bodies, especially with Robin Lopez still out with his back.
I'm interested to see what Marvin Bagley does. If they're going to let him play, then he's going to be good. If they let him play like they should, remember, he could be a double-double guy. Maybe no defensive stats, but, you know, a good double-double and some good percentages. Because who's ahead of him, like, out there? Besides, like, him and Isaiah Stewart will be the front court.
Yeah, you got Isaiah Stewart. They didn't trade away Jeremy Grant, so Jeremy Grant's kind of powerful.
He can play three, though. He can play the three.
So, yeah. I guess it depends on what they do for the guard, because you got Cade Cunningham, depending on what they do, because sometimes it's Killian Hayes, sometimes it's Corey Joseph that starts. Then you got Sadiq Bey. You got Sadiq Bey, who had a nice little run while Jeremy Grant was out, but he's playing at the small forward. And then so you got Kelly Olynyk, who hasn't really got off the ground since he's come back from his injury. So I'm not, you know, I would hope that there would be some opportunity for Marvin Bagley, but I'm not really too sure if he really moved himself into a better situation.
Okay, I think a lot of these guys are going out after this Cleveland thing, because you could start a big lineup. That's a team could say, I'm going to start Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant, Marvin Bagley, and Isaiah Stewart. Have a bunch of size and length out there who can defend and switch, and then you got Sadiq Bey be the one shooter, and Caden Cunningham. I think that, because that's a tough lineup defensively, all of it.
Yeah, because Cade Cunningham's a big guard also. So, like you said, that's a very huge lineup that they would have out there. Isaiah's a little undersized, but, you know, he plays big. And at this point, Detroit's not really playing anything for anything, so they got nothing but time to really just experiment, really, and see, you know, what could happen. So you would hope that, you know, during these last 25, 20 games or so that they have, that, you know, they'll try to test out and see what they got in Marvin Bagley. Hopefully they're not going to pull what New York did, which was trade for Cam and then not even play Cam Reddish. Like, why are you going to trade for this guy? You're not going to give it no minutes. So hopefully that's not what we're going to see here in Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in New York. They might let us run it. I really think, like, the DHL, like, if we could be, like, a represent a general manager, we would really make some noise in the NBA, like, as a team. Like, we wouldn't be sorry. Like, like it just be impossible.
I would love the opportunity.
We made the playoffs.
Hey, at the very least, to play in. Shoot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Like, the mindset, we'll make the playoffs, at the very least. We'll be an 8 seed. Don't trip.
definitely so. But before we get out of here, I'm just realizing too that like Dante DiVincenzo, he's going to Sacramento. So that does kind of convolute the backcourt there in Sacramento because again they added Holiday, and then you still got Davion Mitchell, you still got De'Aaron Fox. So I would like to see DiVincenzo get some playing time. He's a good real life player, but for fantasy, like you said, I'm not really sure if he's gonna be able to get off the ground. But Chase, I do appreciate your time. Thank you so much for going over these trades with me, helping me break them down, providing some advice to the DHL out there. You know, it looks like your spot is warm because we got a few candidates that may possibly get rotated out the league right now. Powerhouse, Too Legit, and Timmy Chans, they all kind of in a race for the bottom right now. So you're going to be taking somebody's spot, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. And it's going to be problems when I get back. Watch. So you're commissioner now?
I am the commissioner. I am the interim commissioner right now.
All an elaborate plot to get me out of here. Then they let in JV's homeboy. No disrespect, my guy. But I like, how did they got, yeah, you had like three guys get ahead of me. Like, y'all didn't even think to call me like at all, not in a little bit. Nobody said bring Shane back. I see where he at. It's all good, though. I'll see y'all next year.
Pep fought for you, you know, say he wanted you to have some type of penalty.
I appreciate you, Pep. You know, me and Pep, we have our little things every now and then. We joke around, but that's my guy, of course. He knows that. But the rest of y'all, I see where we at.
Hey, well, thank you. Thank you again, Chase. I appreciate you, man. And you enjoy the rest of your day, all right?
All right, bro. I'll see you.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I figured reaching out to Chase to provide his thoughts and opinions would be the best way of getting some unbiased takes. So I appreciate him making time for the DHL, even though unfortunately he is not with us this season. Also, just a reminder that week 18 is technically the combination of 2 weeks. So because of the All-Star break, Yahoo stopped having 2 short weeks, which really was making it easy for scores to get out of hand on those weeks between or right or around the All-Star break. Either way, again, 2 weeks combined into one, and that's because the All-Star break will be from Friday the 18th to Wednesday, February 23rd. So Friday to Wednesday, no games are going to be played, and because of the combined weeks into one fantasy week, there will be most teams will play 5 games or four or five games. Cleveland, the LA Lakers, Orlando, they are the only teams with 3 games for this week 18. So just be aware of that. If you're rostering players from any of those teams, just expect that you're not going to get as much production in week 18 as you might normally would when you're facing a team that has somebody like Jason Tatum or Devin Booker playing 5 games. But that's it. And as always, I appreciate y'all spending some of your day with me. I'm going to go ahead and let Mark Jones take us out of here.
And that might do it. And right now, it would take a bigger turnaround than Paul on the road to Damascus to win this one.